Reading with your kids.
Hola, ni hao, konnichiwa, assalamu alaikum, shalom, mahaba, ciao, bonjour, namaste, jambo. Bienvenidos, my name is Jet Li, and this is Reading with Your Kids, coming to you with love from the historic neighborhood of Reedville, tucked into the southwest corner of Boston, Massachusetts. Our mission here is all about connection, connecting kids with books, families with each other, and communities through the power of story. Every week, we're joined by incredible authors and creators whose work lights up kids' lives. You can support this mission by spreading the word, share the show with your friends, give us a shout-out at school, and let folks know that they can hear us on the WREB AM-FM 24/7 radio network. And they can find us on the iHeartRadio app, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Good Pods, CastBox, Audible, Player FM. Wherever you find your favorite shows, you can find Reading with Your Kids. We have a very special show for you today. Lori Orlinsky, she's been a frequent guest on Reading with Your Kids. She is returning to celebrate her brand new book. It's called Being Middle. And she'll be joined by a very, very special guest. The inspiration for Being Middle, her middle child, Ellie. And later in the show, we'll have a listen back to Lori's first appearance on Reading with Your Kids. You know, Lori and Ellie are joining us from Chicago, so it makes perfect sense that one of our sponsors is Big Fork Brands. Their bold Chicago-style sausage and high-protein meat snacks are made for families who want clean, honest ingredients that taste amazing. If you're looking for the perfect way to turn an ordinary evening into an unforgettable family moment, we've got the recipe. Start with a great book, add a cozy blanket, and finish it off with some mouth-watering snacks from our friends at Big Fork Brands. The next time you're planning a family read-aloud night, serve up some big flavor with Big Fork Brands. Visit BigForkBrands.com and use the promo code READ for 20% off your order. Because food and stories, they're both better when shared together. Are you looking for a creative way to bond with your kids? Let me tell you all about Drawing with Your Kids, the ultimate destination for artistic adventures. Join us as we dive into the wonderful world of children's books with renowned illustrators guiding you step by step from beloved characters to whimsical scenes. Unleash your imagination and create cherished memories together. Whether you're a seasoned artist or just picking up a pencil, there's something for everyone at Drawing with Your Kids. Please visit our website, readingwithyourkids.com, and click on the Drawing with Your Kids link at the top of the page and let the creativity flow. Drawing with Your Kids, where every stroke brings stories to life. My friends, we are in for a treat. Joining us from Chicago in Illinois, our guests are here today to celebrate their brand new middle book. It's called, I meant picture book. Their brand new picture book is called Being Middle. Please welcome to the show, welcome back to the show, Lori Olinsky. Hey, Lori, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having us.
I'm delighted to have you. And joining Lori is her co-author and daughter, Ellie. Hey, Ellie, how are you?
Good.
Hey, Ellie, can I do something? I'm really good at this. Can I guess your age? I know you're not supposed to ask a lady her age, but I
don't guess my age.
Okay. I'm looking at you, Ellie, and I am thinking that you are just about to turn 13.
No.
No, 14.
No.
No. You can't, don't tell me you're 16.
Less.
Oh, so 15.
Tell me
how old you are, Ellie.
9.
9 years old. My goodness. She is here. She has a beautiful smile with her mom. And Ellie, why don't you tell me what Being Middle is all about? Because I have a feeling Being Middle is kind of about you.
It's about being in two worlds, one the older sister and one the younger sister or brother.
So it's about being the middle child.
Yeah.
Are the stories I've heard about middle children true, that they're special in so many ways?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. Lori, what inspired you? You have three daughters. What inspired you to write Being Middle?
Well, I always wanted to continue a sequel with Being Small because mm-hmm. I love the Being brand, Being Me. The goal with Being Small was to take something that kids might feel different or insecure about and turn it into their superpower. And I had just been kind of holding on to ideas. And then during the pandemic, we had a nice surprise baby, Avery. And as soon as I saw Ellie transition into the role of a middle child, I said, that's it. That's the book. Because my God, our middle children, unpredictable, unfiltered. They do whatever they want. They march to the beat of their own drum. And so many times Ellie would tell me, it's not fair. My sister gets to do this and the other one is cute and I'm stuck. And, you know, I was trying to come up with ways that she was better. I would say to her, well, it's like you're in the middle of, like, if you're in a sandwich, you're the bread and the cheese, you're going to edit that, right?
Sure.
Sorry.
Yep. Okay. Go ahead.
So I would say to Allie, I would tell her all the ways that being middle was great. So if you're eating a cookie, the cream is the best part. Mm-hmm. If you're eating a sandwich, you got the meat and the cheese. You're not the bread. You're the glue that holds everything together. I even told her, I think I showed her with Legos, we made a bridge. And I said, there are two sides, two different towns. You're the bridge that connects everyone together. So I was trying to think of ways to make her feel better. And I think the book was also cathartic for me because as I wrote it, I realized I need to parent Ellie for the child she is, not for the child that I thought she would be, which is my older daughter. They have very different personalities, and I just assumed she would fill her shoes and, you know, the next one's going to be in Ellie's shoes and that's it. But man, they're different. And so it took a lot of listening. Ellie and I have gone through some ups and downs since she's been a middle child, but she is just the best. And I wanted the world to see how great she is and how great middle kids can be.
Awesome. Awesome. My kids, we don't have a middle child. We have a boy and a girl, older and younger. And they were raised in the same home. And you would swear that they were raised by different families. They are completely different.
It is amazing. And I just, you know, I was parenting her exactly how I parented my other child, but they're two different people. She's a little bit more introverted. She likes to be at home. She's a big homebody. My older one is outgoing and she wants to just be out of the house all the time. So it'll be interesting to see where Avery, the little one, goes.
Yeah, I bet. So Ellie, what did you think about having your story told to the world?
It was amazing. I couldn't like believe it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And how did you, when the book came to your house, you're able to look at it and you're able to see the illustrations. Do you like the way your character was illustrated in the book?
It looked awesome.
Yeah.
And we used the same illustrator from Being Small because we really wanted to create that brand, the Being Me brand. So hopefully there'll be another Being Me book, but now it has the consistency. And the books always start with a child having a problem and explaining the problem to a parent, and then the parent taking the problem and flipping it on its head and making the problem actually be the best part of who they are.
I love that. I really do love that. Being Small was a fantastic book. I think it was a very empowering book, and it sounds like Being Middle is the same.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of research to see if middle child syndrome is real, because there's a lot of research about it. And there's also a lot of research about middle kids in general, that they're the peacemakers and they're calm. And I was trying to debunk that research, which hasn't been proven true. But I think, you know, middle kids, again, they march to the beat of their own drum. But middle child syndrome is when a child feels stuck and left out. And that's exactly, I think, how Ellie felt the first, what, four years of Avery's life, or 4 years?
23.
Yeah. The last 3 years, sorry.
Yeah.
Wow. Boy, Ellie, Were you ever able to sit down with your mom and say, oh, I'm really tired of being in the middle?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah?
And being middle, a lot of times she would tell me and I'm like, okay, you know, it's hard to pay attention to her, admittedly, because I'm running my older one all over for dance. And my younger one is just so cute. She's just attached to my hip and everything she asks for, we give her. So it's easy. It was easy for a long time to kind of like ignore Allie, you know, when she's asking questions. You know, she had her iPad on, you know, we usually take the iPads at 9 o'clock and we would just forget to take her iPad and we'd wake her up in the morning and she'd be like, I was up until 5 on my iPad. And we're like, oh my God, we forgot about you. So she did get some little perks there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ellie, I'm hoping that the Chicago DSS doesn't listen to this, or the Division of Child and Safety or whatever they call it out there. Because your mom could be in big trouble for forgetting you.
Well, and she would always say, you forget about me. But there was actually one time we actually forgot her. Do you want to tell Chad about that?
Well, Haley and me were going to dance. Mm-hmm. And her friend was picking us up. And I was sleeping. And they just forgot about me. And then they came back and they were, and my mom was like, where's Ellie? And they were like, did we forget her at dance?
And we called the dance studio. Yeah. We were retracing our steps. Like, is she still in our friend's car? Where is she? And then all of a sudden she comes out of her room and she's like, when does dance start? And we're like, oh, we forgot to take you. And I think something like that has maybe happened more than one occasion.
Oh, my goodness, Ellie. But,
Ellie's a good sport about it now.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I wouldn't go hiking with them, Ellie.
Oh, no.
No.
You don't want us to lose you there.
No, not on a mountain. Stick close.
And a big thing, you know, saying that I want to parent her to the child who she is. At first, I tried to force her into this, okay, you're going to dance. You're going to be a competitive dancer because that's what your sister did. And it took taekwondo. It took archery. We did gymnastics. We did everything imaginable for Ellie until we found her thing. And her thing is swimming that she loves. And she's on a swim team this year. And it's so nice that she found her own. She carved out her own path. Now when we think of Haley, we think of dance. When we think of Ellie, we think of swimming. And we watched her in her meets. And she's such a good swimmer. And it's just so nice to be able to have something that's just hers that she can claim.
That's great. It reminds me of when my kids were growing up. My daughter was a competitive dancer, and she was the younger of my two kids. But my son, for the longest time, just didn't have that, you know, that thing that he loved. And he tried a bunch of different things, and it wasn't until he was in middle school when he discovered football, which was great. A funny story, Ellie. So my wife surprised me one day because she came in and she asked my son, do you want to play football? And my beautiful wife and I had talked about we didn't want our kids to play hockey or football because it was so violent. So when she asked my son, and then my son said yes, and I said, well, that's a surprise. And I said to him, I said, listen, if you do this, you have to commit to it. You have to do it for the whole season. You can't quit. You don't have to do it more than one season, but if we go in and we make the commitment, you have to stick with it. And he said, yes, Poppy, I'm all in. So we went to the first day and we wrote out the check, and right before I handed it to the man, the president of the football league, I said, Chris, are you sure? And he goes, absolutely. They took my check and they pointed down the hallway, and Chris walked down the hallway with me, and they started handing him shoulder pads and knee pads and a helmet. And he looks at me and he says, why do I need this? And I said, Chris, you're going to play tackle football. And he said, what? Tackle football?
Did he think he was signing up for flag?
I don't know what he thought he was signing. Maybe he thought we turned European, was going to play soccer. But I don't know. But he loved it, and he played through high school and all of middle school. And some of his best friends are people that he met on that team.
I love that. And Ellie still dances, but it's just not her favorite thing. And it doesn't define her. We have really made a conscious effort after writing this book. I sat down with Ellie and I talked about, What can we do that would make you feel better? What can we do that would make you feel valued and seen? And so one thing that Ellie and I do every month is we volunteer. So there's a program here in Chicago, and you can volunteer at different places and pick your projects. So we have volunteered. Where have we gone? We've gone to hospitals and made cookies for their patients. What else?
We've done a lot.
We've made pillowcases for kids staying at a teen home. We've sewn them.
Yeah.
We have made blankets and puzzles for children in a where were we? Yeah, we sewed blankets for children in the NICU. So we did all kinds of things, and that's our thing. We don't let anybody else do that. Sometimes dad will do it with her, but that's our thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Ellie, I have to tell you, I've been friends with your mom for a long time. She was one of the first guests on the show. I think it was 2017 or 2018 was the first time she came on the show. And I'm really impressed with her right now because she's here talking about some of the mistakes that she made as a parent. And it's really hard for, you might have noticed this, but it's really hard for grownups to say, oh man, I made a mistake, especially in front of their kids. But that's what your mom's doing. And I think she's going to be a great example for the other moms and dads that are listening to this to take a sort of look at themselves and say, man, could I be a little bit better a parent?
Well, thank you. And you know, just parenting in general, it's so hard to be present in the moment nowadays. Mm-hmm. You've got electronics, you've got places you have to schlep their kids to, there's schoolwork, there's so much that overtakes you as a parent. And it's like, I needed to sit and listen to Ellie and her needs rather than just brush her off as a middle child. Because so many times I'd be like, oh, she's fine. She's just a middle child. You know, she's okay. Don't worry about it. She's just a middle child. And that was an excuse. And I think she was craving the, like, make me feel special. I want to feel special. So it really took, it took a while for us to get into that groove where she looks at herself and she's proud to be a little sister. She supports her big sister with dance. And she is so good with Avery, who's 3 and a half. She plays with her at the park. She helps her get in the pool. She even takes some from the team when Avery's throwing slime at us.
Yeah.
She's a, you know, Ellie, actually, I think because of watching Ellie with Avery, I think that she'll probably end up in a career having to do with children.
Oh, maybe. You think you might want to be a teacher or a pediatrician, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. We need good pediatricians out there.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Excellent. I really love it. Ellie, you're on the swim team. What's your favorite stroke?
My favorite stroke is freestyle.
Freestyle. Okay. Okay. And have you, how have you done in your competitions?
I'm not competitive. I go to Goldfish. That's, I do like swim meets.
They compete against. Technically, they compete against their previous scores.
Oh, great. Well, that's a really healthy way, especially at 9 years old.
And we just discovered she loves archery.
Ooh.
At camp, we have specialties, and I do archery, and I've got 2 bullseyes so far this summer.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
She is awesome. And you know, in writing this book and in just talking to friends and family and getting the word out about it, so many people are like, I don't have middle kids, but I'm a middle child. I get it. Even if they're an adult, even if they're adults, they can relate to it because you just think back. I just don't think there's any middle child in the world who is just like, okay, I'm a middle child. There's always something about them. And I can't quite put my finger on it, but anyone who is a middle child or who has a middle child knows that they're just different.
Well, I think, you know, the dynamic is right. You have, on the one hand, you have the older sibling who's been there before and, you know, folks just expect the second child and the following children to just follow in their footsteps. And then you have the cute little baby, you know, that needs all the attention and gets it. So you're, yeah, I understand. I feel your pain, Ellie.
And there's actually, the book will release on August 12th, which is National Middle Child Day. So how cool is that?
That is very cool.
And there's so many organizations out there. In writing this book, I collaborated a little bit with the International Middle Child Union. It's a club, and it's really fun. And my membership card, he gave me an honorary membership, and it says, "You are entitled to all the benefits of a middle kid." And then it says, dash, none, which we thought was so funny. But, you know, there's people are on blogs. I mean, they are just, it's such a topic of conversation. And you immediately, at least I can immediately relate to another parent that has three kids. There's just something about it that, you know, you have to talk about it.
Yeah. I didn't know that there was a National Middle Child Day.
There is.
You got your own day, Ellie.
Yeah.
That's
and I think, awesome. You know, the goal in the book was to celebrate middle kids and all that make them special, all the quirks that we sometimes said were strange and all the requests that we didn't give in to. I mean, they are one of a kind, and we wanted to show Ellie that she is one of a kind, and the hope is that other people will take that away too, just like they were receptive to being small.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me, Ellie, have you thought about the fact that there are going to be thousands and thousands of kids all around the world reading about you and hopefully being inspired by you?
I've thought about it, and I've said that it's amazing that kids get to be inspired and they can know that they're special in their own way.
And Ellie and I even talked about she wants to start a middle child club, like a Zoom club or something, where she would Zoom in with middle kids all around the world. I just imagine them huddling on the computers and like spilling all their secrets, like a little secret society. But she joked about that, and I thought, hey, that's actually a good idea.
I think that could be a good topic for a podcast.
What do you think?
Middle child podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. Now, Elle, I understand that this is your debut interview, so we're honored that you would allow us to be first to interview you. But you got some other big things coming up. You're going to be on TV and newspapers?
Yeah.
Yeah? Who's going to be interviewing you on TV?
She's going to be on WGN in Chicago, Fox, and NBC, and we're doing a couple different radio stations, and we'll see where that takes us. She's going to come with me to all of my book signings and my readings, and it's almost going to be like Meet the Author is not that cool, but the draw is Ellie.
Yeah, well, absolutely. No offense, Lori, but I would stand up to meet Ellie.
And she'll be signing books just alongside me. So you got to think of something clever to write. Maybe you sign the middle of the book or something.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, Lori, just a real quick, because we have a lot of aspiring authors that listen to the show and authors who are listening to the show who are just getting into it. You have a background in marketing, not only books, not only your own books, but other books. And you were in marketing before you became a mom. You mentioned you're building a Being Me brand. Talk just a little bit about how important it is for authors to think about themselves and their work as a brand and to build that brand.
Absolutely. I think so many authors out there release a book and then they just say, okay, I'm going to sit back and let it be successful. But in order for it to be successful, you have to be present. You have to market it, et cetera. And, you know, assuming that goes successfully, people like you, they want to be your fan. They want to follow you. And what's the point of all that if you don't write another book? And so it's like I'm taking Being Small fans who are a little bit older now, but possibly passing that on to their siblings and just building the credibility out there in the world as well. Being Small was published as a hybrid published book. So there was a deal with a publisher where you pay a portion to get your book published. And my goal was always to be with the traditional publisher. And I was excited when Being Middle was picked up by a traditional publisher. And for me, it kind of validated me and it validated my ideas. And one thing for authors, I will say, is if you make a brand, if you have a brand, you're going to write more than one book, especially a series, be consistent with your colors, your voice, your Instagram. Everything you do should have this nice consistency wrapped in a bow.
Yeah, great advice. Ellie, one last question for you. Do you think that maybe one of those kid things that you might grow up to be is a kid's author?
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. If I were to push you and say, what would your first book be about? Do you have an idea of what your first kid's book might be about?
Maybe about middle children.
Okay, yeah, that would be great. Maybe you could write a story about an annoying cat who pushes a laptop screen around.
I also thought it would be cool, maybe even if Ellie does a middle child club, I almost thought about, like, this could be a great middle grade book about, like, a little middle child society where they meet and they it's like Little Rascals, where they talk about their problems and solutions. And it just, I think it would be pretty funny.
Yeah. And scheme about some tricks they can play on their older sibling.
Yeah. And Ellie loves, when I point out middle children on TV, like I showed her Stephanie Tanner, who is the ultimate middle child from Full House. And she's like, oh my God, I relate to that. And I even showed her the Brady Bunch episode where Jan says, oh, my nose, nobody cares about Jan. It's Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. And she related to that and said, yeah, it's Haley, Haley, Haley. So there's just, and also there's a reason why middle kids are always portrayed in television. They're the butt of the jokes, but we're trying to make that in a positive way.
Excellent. Well, I'm really excited. I think people should go out, check out Being Middle. I checked it out early. I really liked it. I think I gave you a quote or something, didn't I?
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. It's actually on the back of the book.
I'm famous. Oh, cool. Awesome. That's great.
We'll have to send Chad a book, but it'll have to be signed by one person. Who?
Me.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, hey, listen, I should ask Ellie, where can we go to find out more about Being Middle and find out more about all of your mom's great books?
Amazon.
Amazon, okay.
Amazon, or my website, LoriOrlinskyAuthor.com.
Yeah.
And the book is also available nationwide, Barnes & Noble, and then some small shops around the country.
Excellent. And I can't wait. Ellie, you have to send me some pictures of you signing the book in the middle.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure out how to do that, but it could work. You know how people would sign the yearbook, the crack on the yearbook? Uh-huh. So I think it would say, roses are red, violets are black. I'm the one to sign your crack. So maybe we could come up with something for the middle. It wouldn't be that funny.
And on that note, we want to close our sign cracks and say thank you. To Lori Orlinsky and her beautiful daughter, Ellie, we want everybody to check out their new book. It's called Being Middle. My friends, thank you so much for being on Reading With Your Kids.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
The point of view, that's true, that's true. Ellie's got her own style. Her swimming's fast and true. With a bow in because of you. Your place is perfect through and through. The world's a better place 'cause of you. Be a middle, can't you see? It's a place for dreams and possibility. You've got the heart, you've got the mind. You're shining your superpower light. From baking cookies with love and laughter everywhere. The world's a better place 'cause of you.
Hey, my friends, you know one of my favorite parts of the day is story time. There's just something magical about snuggling up with your kids, opening a great book, and escaping into an adventure together. And let me tell you, that moment becomes even more magical when you're curled up in the softest, coziest bedding you've ever felt. That's why I'm so excited that CozyEarth.com is supporting Reading with Your Kids. Their bamboo sheets, comforters, and pajamas are unbelievably soft, naturally breathable, and temperature regulating, which means no more sweaty nights or chilly toes. Right now, Cozy Earth is offering Reading with Your Kids listeners an unbelievable and exclusive 41% off their entire site. That's right, you heard me right, 41% off. So go ahead, create your own cozy reading nook. Wrap yourself and your kids up in something comfy. Grab your favorite bedtime book and turn story time into the best part of your day. Head on over to CozyEarth.com and use the promo code READ at checkout to save 41%. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code READ. Join us on the line right now from Chicago in Illinois. She is the author of a debut picture book. It's called Being Small Isn't So Bad After All, a book that I just love being vertically challenged myself. Please welcome to the show, Lori Orlinsky. Lori, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's such an honor.
I'm excited to have you on the show and excited for you to tell us all about what Being Small Isn't So Bad After All is all about.
Great. Well, it is the origins of being small. I have a six-year-old daughter. One of my kids is six right now. Her name is Haley. And when she was 3 years old, she came home from preschool crying hysterically and said she was done going to school and she never wanted to go anymore. So it took a lot of bribery and prying, and I finally found out that the teachers had done a very innocent exercise. They hung a growth chart on the wall, and they put a piece of masking tape next to each child's height indicator. And all of her friends were on the top and the middle, and she was, like, way down at the bottom as the shortest. And what she saw wasn't, "I'm just the shortest." She saw her name at the bottom, which to her meant that she was the worst. Mm. And, you know, we discussed it at length, and then I figured, let me just go on Amazon and find a book about it, find a character that she can relate to, and then read it to her and call it a day. And I was completely shocked that there was no book about this topic that existed. And that's how Being Small was born.
I love that story of how this book came to be. I don't love the fact that Haley felt bad and that she had this bad experience where she felt terrible and her feelings were hurt and she became so sad. But I love the way that you dealt with it as a parent. First, you listened to your child and you took your child's words and you took your child's feelings and emotions seriously. And that's so very, very important. And then you look for a book to read with your kids. And that's a great way to deal with these emotional issues through the pages of a book by talking about a character in a book that's dealing with some of the same things. And then when you couldn't find that resource, you went and you wrote it yourself. You created that book yourself. And One of the things I want to know is, where did you get the idea, the strength to believe that you could actually write a children's picture book?
Absolutely. I have a journalism and freelance background, and I've always wanted to write a book, but I've never had this, like, inspiration. And, you know, this experience and having this negative day at Haley School became such a defining moment in my life, because it, like, hit me over the head, like, oh, my God, this is what I'm supposed to do. And it really just started out as, let me kind of, like, write a poem for my daughter, and, you know, I can read it to her at night and make her feel better. And then it kind of turned into a book, and then my family encouraged me, you should kind of think about getting this published, and I did. And it's surprising that it all worked out, but it's, you know, not only made a difference in the life of Haley, but I'm seeing this book really change other kids' perspectives, both kids that are short mm-hmm. and even kids that are taller, because it gives them some kind of perspective on the power of their words. Mm-hmm. So it is getting a lot of praise for kind of becoming this anti-bullying book.
Tell us a little bit about the message in the book, and what you want to, what you convey to kids in Being Small Isn't So Bad After All.
So the original message that I wanted to portray was that short kids can do special things too, just like tall kids. So, you know, short kids, for example, you're the last one to get wet when it rains. My mom used to tell me that all the time, because I'm only 5'1", but, you know, it never impacted me the way that it impacted Haley. Mm-hmm. And so, again, initially it was to make short kids feel better. And in writing this book, there's just so many universal undertones about celebrating our unique differences and kind of empowering a child. And there's also a great message in there about the bond between a mother and a child, and how, you know, a parent really has this wonderful role to, you know, make a child feel better and to kind of shape the way that they see the world.
I love that. I love that. Now, as you were creating this poem, what was Haley's reaction the first time you read it to her, and then when she finally saw it in print?
She's very honest. And so a lot of times I would, you know, start reading like a stanza, and she would put her thumbs down, or she would stick her tongue out, and she was like, I don't, that's a big word. And so she really helped me. She was my best editor, in a sense, because I realized that I couldn't use certain words. I had to really, you know, get it to that, you know, preschool to, like, grade school age level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's got it memorized. Her and my other daughter memorized it. But they, you know, gave me some really good tips. You know, I probably had about 80% of the book developed, and then she helped me with that other 20% by kind of telling me the problems that she faces as a kid. Mm-hmm. And she was able to articulate that, you know, even at 3.5, 4 years old.
Yeah, that was one of the things that struck me when you were telling the story, is just how aware kids are at such a young age. That is like, yeah, they're kids are just seeing these differences.
It's unbelievable. You know, I started doing some research as I was writing the book, and I found out that 160,000 children stay home from school every single day just to avoid being bullied. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's more, this bullying behavior can start as early as age 3, with girls being a little bit more susceptible to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't think Haley was being bullied, but I thought this was such a critical time in her social and emotional development that she could either, you know, kind of embrace it and really embrace being small, or she could just freeze and retreat. And I wanted her to embrace it.
And I really think that is a brilliant strategy, for a lack of a better word, in dealing with Haley, and a great tool to give her in as she's growing up. I've been doing educational magic shows that deal with the topic of bullying since 2003. And, you know, that's one of those statistics that really, you know, kind of caught my eye. And one of the things, too, I think you're experiencing it, too, with this book, is a lot of times what some kids are perceiving as bullying behavior is it, I mean, that's not the intention of the kids on the other end. You know, they're not necessarily looking to bully someone to make them feel bad. They just don't realize the power of their words and how, you know, what, you know, that some words, you know, may not bother, you know, 90% of the kids in the class, but they may be very, very hurting to 10 or 5% of the class.
Absolutely. And I think, too, you know, kids are so visual that when you, you know, you're kind of trained to associate the top with being the best. And so when your name falls at the bottom and you go into school and it's a visual that you see every single day, I think you kind of associate that with being the worst. So I really started to understand and empathize where Haley was coming from. And, mm-hmm. you know, her phone would call, and even our teachers very innocently would call her Munchkin and Peanut, and they would kind of like rest their hand on her head, kind of like they were petting her. You know, it was really endearing, but she took it to, I am short. I am like a small puppy. I'm the worst. I have these horrible nicknames. And so, you know, she was really sensitive to it.
Mm-hmm. And one of the interesting things too is I joked earlier about being short of stature myself, but I am, and it took me a while to kind of embrace it, you know. But even though I have come to terms with it, and I'm a lot older than 3 years old, there are days when it's kind of annoying, especially when it's pointed out to me.
One interesting thing about this book is, you know, I will talk to parents who will say their kids are tall, and they'll tell me about the struggles that their kids have. You know, for example, with tall kids, there's the expectation that the kids have to be smarter at a younger age because they look older. Mm-hmm. And it's just so interesting. It kind of like unearths all these stigmas and all the ways that people are feeling. It's not just short kids that sometimes get, you know, pun intended, the short end of the stick. I mean, mm-hmm. there are so many children that have, you know, different differences, whether they're, you know, inner emotional or they're physical. And every one of these children is special in their own way and should be kind of celebrated and should have that self-confidence. And if we can give them that foundation at an early age, I think that we really can get ahead of the bullying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you do point out, you know, there are, every kid does have their abilities and their challenges. You were mentioning how tall kids, they appear older, so they have to, you know, there's pressure on them to appear smarter. There's also pressure on them to be more athletic. People think that they're, oh, you're tall, you must be a great athlete or whatever. And, I think that's so important for us to teach our kids and also to remind ourselves as adults that we need to look at children and come to understand who they are and what their abilities and challenges are, and not to make prejudgments about what they should be.
Absolutely. I agree 100% with that. And, you know, every time Haley would get measured at the doctor, I mean, I am not a fan of that, you know, like your child is in this percentage height, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. As long as your kid is healthy and happy, for me, that was the ultimate. And so I never even thought about, you know, telling Haley, oh, you're in the 4th percent for height, or you're in the 0% for height. It just, you know, I didn't intentionally not tell her. But then, you know, even more so when this issue came about, I made sure to say to, you know, our pediatrician, you know, this is a conversation that maybe you should have when the children aren't around, because here's how my daughter reacted.
Mm-hmm. What was your pediatrician's response when you shared that?
You know, he understood, you know, at that age, most kids don't take things so much to heart. Mm-hmm. My daughter was really, really sensitive. And I think, as I mentioned, it had to do with that visual reminder every day. Whereas, you know, you go to the doctor once every couple months when you're younger and you get labeled as you're in this percentage. But, you know, he definitely appreciated the feedback and understood where I was coming from.
Mm-hmm. What specific message did you share with Haley that kind of helped her understand that being short, it's not so bad after all?
You know, I showed her, I think, you know, I would tell her these positive things that she could do. You know, when we go on a plane, you know, we're going to Disney World, look at all the room that you have. And everyone else is like, Daddy is tall, Daddy is so squished in. You and I have so much room for our feet. And I think telling her things like that is different than actually seeing it in the book. You know, she got to see the illustrations of, you know, a tall kid not fitting in a little treehouse, yet a short kid kind of fitting there with ease.
Mm-hmm.
And we also talked about, you know, the benefits that all kids have, you know, whether it's any kind of differences that they had. We talked about the fact that everyone has positives and negatives, but it's really about who you are on the inside and how you treat other people. And I think, you know, that message really resonated with her. And now, I mean, she is the shortest one probably in all of kindergarten in her school by a landslide. And she rocks it. She totally embraces it. And I think it's because of the book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. I know there are so many wonderful kids in my life that I've met over the years who are the shortest in their class, but they have this fire and courage inside them that's really incredible. And that's kind of what I'm hearing about Haley.
Yeah, that's exactly, you know, she has this like newfound confidence, like I can take over the world because I now see the things that I can do that, you know, other people might have looked at as a hindrance, but really it makes her excel.
Mm-hmm. Now you were saying earlier on about kids who are taller kind of coming to understand about their words and not using words that are hurtful to others. Talk a little bit more about that and those kids' reactions.
Yeah, I've had a lot of reactions from parents and kids, you know, saying kind of what I mentioned to you about, oh, my, you know, son always calls Haley Munchkin. We didn't think it was that big of a deal. And so it gives them more of the understanding that, hey, you know, what you may think is such a nice, endearing pet name, it could, your words, you know, have power over others. And let's not do that. And let's make sure we address, you know, her by her name or ask her if it's okay if you call her that. And, you know, I think that kids are understanding, you know, on the playground, you know, shorter kids may have, you know, different abilities than they do. And I think it's just, you know, I go to readings all the time. I read to preschools and elementary schools. And so many times older, you know, I'm sorry, taller kids will raise their hands and they'll say, I didn't realize that this hurts my friend's feelings. Next time I'm going to do this mm-hmm. instead. And I think, you know, again, that wasn't the original message I wanted this to be for short kids, and it just has these universal undertones that I think apply to so many kids in so many situations.
Now that you've getting such great response to the readings and folks who are reading, Being Small Isn't So Bad After All, and the reactions are so positive, do you have plans to write a follow-up or to turn this into a series?
I'm thinking about it. I do have another book in the works. It'll be released in the fall, but it's a completely different topic. Mm-hmm. It's more, it's less about a lesson and a more fun kind of Tooth Fairy-esque book. But the more people that read Being Small and the more people that I tell them about it, they're like, can you do Being Tall? Can you do Being Shy? Can you do Having Red Hair? And so I think there is this opportunity to kind of turn this into a series that, you know, gives all different kids of all different, you know, looks and abilities self-confidence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, right off the top of my head, I think you could write a Being Tall Isn't So Bad After All, because I know a lot of kids who are really, really tall who feel very self-conscious about it.
Yeah, that's great. I would love to talk to you when I start to do it.
Well, how did you enjoy the whole experience of being a writer and the editing process? Not so much the editing process where Haley was sticking out her tongue at you, but, you know, the actually pulling it together and taking this idea and turning it into a published book.
It was amazing. I still have like little post-it notes, or, you know, I would sometimes be at gymnastics with Haley, and I have another daughter, Ellie, who's also short. She's 3 years old, and I'd be watching them in gymnastics, yet like I would think of something and I would write it on my arm, or I would write on a post-it, and I would have this like draft email composed to me, and it wouldn't make sense to anybody, but it was a bunch of rhyming words. So I also spoke in rhyme for a very long time when I was writing the book. But, you know, seeing this come together was just amazing. And, you know, I asked a couple of, you know, friends and family, can you read this? Can you tell me what your thoughts are? And I was really fortunate to have such a supportive network of people, you know, who were very honest with me mm-hmm. and, you know, might say, you know, I really like this, but this doesn't make any sense. And, mm-hmm. you know, things that I was really attached to in the book, I ended up taking out because they made sense in my head, but they didn't necessarily make sense to anybody else.
Boy, I have that problem with a lot of things in life. There's a lot that makes sense in my head that no one else can understand at all.
And I was really fortunate to be, you know, working with Mascot Books They have been such a great partner to me, and with them I found this amazing illustrator who lives in Brazil. Her name is Vanessa Alexandri, and she just captured every detail. And I even sent her a picture of Haley, and the character in the book looks so much like Haley. It's amazing. And I just, you know, it's like she was in my head.
What was that like for Haley to, you know that this, the story was about her, but then to see this character on the page that looks so much like her?
She thinks she's famous. So, you know, so hopefully we didn't give her too much of a complex, but she is obsessed with it. She has the book displaying on her dresser. You know, it's in her school library, and so she always reads it during reading time. And, you know, she wants to be an author. She is constantly, you know, stapling construction paper and coloring things. And, you know, not only was this such a positive experience in helping change her perspective of herself, but I think she saw me, you know, work at something and, you know, do it relentlessly and not give up. And I think it gave her that drive that mm-hmm. she one day will maybe write a book. And, you know, she saw a strong mom, and I want her to be a strong child.
Absolutely. Yeah, we talk so much here in the show about how important it is for parents to read, not only with their kids, but let their kids see them reading to model that behavior. And you did the same with your daughter. There was this issue and you wanted to solve it and you worked really hard at it. And then you turned what was a negative experience into something really positive that's helping lots of people.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And I, you know, especially wanted to do this book in rhyming. As a child, I always loved, you know, reading Dr. Seuss books with my dad. I always thought rhyming was such a clever way to captivate a young child and to foster their love for reading. It's great for early readers. It also kind of teaches them about repetition and sounds. And so that's exactly also why my book is done in rhyme.
Yeah. I imagine you must have gotten some strange looks, you know, walking around the streets of Chicago, going into different stores and ordering things and maybe just slipping into rhyme while you're ordering a coffee at a coffee shop or something like that.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And my husband was also sick of it. Everything I said, we would rhyme, and it was embarrassing. But, you know, you fall into that mode, and until you're done with the book, you keep rhyming and rhyming. I sometimes do it now.
Well, you can either say it in rhyme or say it without rhyme. But tell us where folks can connect with you and learn more about the books on the net.
Absolutely. I have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/beingsmall. I'm also on Instagram. My handle is @beingsmallbook. My book is available on Amazon.com. Again, it's Being Small Isn't So Bad After All. And it's also available locally in Chicago at Barnes & Noble and Barber's Bookstores. And if you're not local, you can order that on those websites.
That is awesome. We've been talking today about a little book that's making a big impact on the world. Being Small Isn't So Bad After All. We've been talking to the author, Lori Olinsky. Lori, thanks so much for being part of the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And I really, you know, I truly hope this book makes a difference in other kids' lives just the way it's touched my own daughter.
We are so very happy that you spend part of your day with us here at Reading With Your Kids. If this episode made you smile or gave you something to think about, please consider passing it on. Share the link, leave a 5-star review, and hit that subscribe button so you can join us for every episode of Reading With Your Kids. And if you haven't done it already, please check out readingwithyourkids.com. It's the hub for all things Reading With Your Kids, including learning how you can be a guest here on the show, joining our Certified Great Read program, and exploring amazing new books. Heartfelt thanks go out to today's guest, Lori Olinsky, and her wonderful middle daughter, Ellie. Want to thank my incredible sponsors, BigForkBrands.com and CozyEarth.com. Please be sure to use the promo code READ when you visit those fantastic websites. Also want to thank my team, Fatima Khan, Chris Daugherty, El Glassman, Dante Greco. I want to thank my beautiful wife for all the support she gives me. Most of all, we all want to thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. And as always, thank you so very much for taking the time to make the world a better place. And you do that every time you read with your kids. I'll be looking for you in the next episode of Reading with Your Kids.